verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Romans, as you've seen, has kind of sections to it. So in those first three chapters, it was all about the sinfulness of man. And then in right up to chapter 5 was more about justification, all the many things that we have in our salvation through faith. And then 6 through 8 was about the crucifixion and walking in the Spirit. And then, as you know, 9 through 11 are the Jewish chapters, which also give us the plan of salvation. Praise the Lord. But here in chapter 12, Romans takes a change and moves from the doctrinal to the practical. And for the rest of the book of Romans, it's a very practical book, practical Christian living. And as you'll see here later in the chapter, just down to earth, how to live for the Lord. But it begins here in verse 12 with this exhortation by Paul to be a living sacrifice, but to live out the perfect will of God. And that's our passage today. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So tonight we focus on the perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your kindnesses to us, for our salvation, and pray that you would now meet with us tonight and use your word in our hearts to teach and grow us. We want to honor you, Lord. And so may we take to heart these practical exhortations in these next few chapters in our own Christian walk. And Lord, we ask that you give us a sweet time of prayer later as well. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So Paul here uses this word beseech, which essentially means I beg you. I'm begging you to listen to what I have to say. This chapter, like I said, is a very practical chapter about how to live the Christian life. He says, I beg you, based upon the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. And of course, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, we couldn't be saved. Amen. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And we are saved because of the mercies of God. And he says, based on those things, I beseech you that what? You present. That you make a presentation to the Lord. And that presentation is to be of yourself. This is the perfect will of God. There are seven things in this little passage that show us right off the beginning what is the perfect will of God. And the first thing is that we present ourselves unto the Lord. Now this is in a way symbolic because we are already his. Amen? We already belong to him. So by presenting ourselves to him, we are essentially saying, Lord, I want to live what is already true. I am giving myself to you. I know I already belong to you, but I'm giving myself to you. In other words, I'm giving my will over to you, my plans for my life, so forth. I'm yours. Take me. And most of us know 6:19 of 1 Corinthians, but let's turn there quickly. Which makes it clear that God owns us. That when he bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ, he became our master, our owner. Notice 1 Corinthians 6:19. What know you not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Verse 20. Therefore, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so if we're just going to talk about this passage and talk about the perfect will of God, the first thing he says is you need to present yourself. Acknowledge what is already true. I belong to God. And I am his. And I'm now giving myself to him. To drive that home, he says, a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is something that's killed on the altar, typically in the Old Testament, the brazen altar. But it's a unique sacrifice because it's a living sacrifice. So it's a sacrifice that is completely given over, but doesn't have to die. Because if we weren't a living sacrifice, then we would die and go to heaven. So God wants us to be this living sacrifice. He wants us to essentially come to the altar and die daily to self. Right? 1 Corinthians 15:31, which says we're to die daily. So we're to reckon ourselves, we looked at this in chapter 6, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are His, and we are to be a living sacrifice. If we've been sacrificed, typically when something is sacrificed, it's dead, right? It's killed, done. No longer, if it's an animal, no longer exists. So to bring that into the practical spiritual realm for you and me, it means we're now dead to self. Likewise, reckon you also be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is a sacrifice acceptable unto God, the sacrifice of self. So if we're going to live the perfect will of God, we must be willing to present our bodies, present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And then in verse 1 of Romans 12, four-letter word, holy. It's a big word, isn't it? We looked at that in 1 Peter recently on Sunday morning. Talked about the holiness of God and how it's in the Bible over 600 times. It's the number one attribute of God in the Scriptures. And the Bible says, 1 Peter 1, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God's desire is that we be holy. That says so much, doesn't it? It means a clean life. It means a life, as much as possible, of course, devoid of any unrighteousness, of any sin, of any wickedness. This is what God wants from us, that we live a life that is holy. Then it says, acceptable unto God. You know, when God called Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acceptable. David said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Acceptable unto God. God is saying, I want your behavior to be acceptable behavior. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Our behavior should be reflective of being a Christian. Acceptable unto God. Not acceptable unto man, but acceptable unto God. And this is the fourth thing that Paul lays out for us if we're going to live the perfect will of God. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. We are here to serve God. Amen? Colossians 3:24, let's turn there quickly. And he uses that word reasonable because it's not unreasonable for God to ask us to serve him, is it? Because look what he's done for us. He's forgiven us of all of our sin. He's given us a home in heaven. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He says the most reasonable thing you could do is at least serve me. It's not unreasonable. It's reasonable. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We are here to serve Jesus. That is our reasonable service. Remember that parable Jesus told the disciples when they asked for their faith to be increased about the man who just did his duty, the servant who just did his duty. He said, when you have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. So if we're going to live the perfect will of God, then we need to present ourselves. Say, God, I'm yours. We need to be that living sacrifice. In other words, we need to die to self every day. We need to live a holy life, an acceptable life, and a life of service. And then chapter 12, verse 2. a life of separation from the world. Be not conformed to this world. God says, 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. If we're going to live the perfect will of God, we can't do it being worldly. We can't do it being conformed to the world. We need to be not conformed. In other words, the world is trying to conform us all the time, isn't it? Always pressuring us, pushing us, trying to shape us to be like it. We're to resist that conformation and not be conformed to this world. But then the opposite, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, of course, we knew of the seven things the Word of God was going to come out, didn't we? And that's Ephesians 4. Let's turn over there, verse 23. How can our minds be renewed? Well, God has given us the means by which that can be true, and that is through His Word. Ephesians 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What can do that? Only the Word of God can do that. Because it says there in verse 24, put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I like verse 2 because it gives us a choice. We can either be conformed or we can be transformed. Isn't that good? We can be either conformed to the world or we can be transformed by the Word. If we're going to live the perfect will of God, then we're going to be transformed. And then he says that you may prove. It means to find it. You may prove what is that will of God. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. God wants us to find it and prove it. And we, if we're not willing to be that presented as a living sacrifice, and we're not willing to be holy and acceptable, we're not willing to serve and avoid the confirmation of the world and be transformed by the Word, if we're not willing to do those seven things, we're not going to prove it because we're not going to find it. Ephesians 6, 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're talking tonight about the perfect will of God. He says, doing the will of God from the heart. And in the end of this verse, too, a lot of people look at it different ways. Some people say it's three different levels of God's will. Other people say, no, it's just three different words describing the will of God. You can take it either way. You can either say that there are three levels, that there's the good will of God, there's the acceptable will of God, and there's the perfect will of God. Or you can say that they're all describing the will of God, which they are. The bottom line is we're to find and live the will of God. That's what's important about this passage. That if we're going to find and live the will of God, we've got to be willing to fulfill those steps. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Serve Him, reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which can only happen through the Word. And then go to 1 Peter 4:2, where the Bible makes it very clear that we are now here, left on this earth, 1 Peter 4:2, to fulfill the will of God in our lives. 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That is God's will, that we find it and that we live it. We must be willing to put in the seven things we saw in this these two verses if we want to find the will of God, and then we want to live the perfect will of God. Now, I mentioned this recently, but in Ephesians 5, we won't look at the details, but Ephesians 5 talks about how we are to know or understand the will of God. So if we're commanded to find it, then that means we can find it. It's not this mysterious thing out there that we can never find, that it just eludes us all the time. Otherwise, that command there in verse 17 wouldn't make any sense. Ephesians 5, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So that means it is possible to understand what the will of the Lord is in our lives. But we won't understand it if we aren't willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, reasonable service. Don't be conformed by the world, but be renewed in your mind. And this passage, if you're seeking the will of God and you're putting those seven things into practice in Romans 12, 1 and 2, then live Ephesians 5. Because it gives you some of the things that will help you find the will of God. I'll just point a couple of them out. Verse 15, walk circumspectly. In other words, walk wisely. Then it says, verse 16, redeem the time. In other words, we're not here to waste time. We're here to redeem it. We're here to use it to its fullest for the Lord. Verses 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 20, give thanks always for everything. And then verses 21 to 25, live a submissive Christian life. So just those five things, if we'd be willing to implement the seven things of Romans 12, 1 and 2 in our Christian walk and be faithful in these five areas in Ephesians 5, then I believe we can understand what the will of the Lord is. Walk circumspectly, redeem the time, be filled with the Spirit, give thanks for everything, and be submissive. Because that's a high calling, isn't it? Sounds like it's just a simple list of five things, but we're to implement all of them. That's a lot of work. The ultimate goal here is the perfect will of God. Amen? God wants to fulfill His will through us. And He's given us some very practical ways of doing that here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He's going to give many more. Later on in the chapter, I'll give you some examples. Verse 15, have empathy. Verse 16, be of the same mind. Verse 17, no evil for evil. Always be honest. Verse 18, live peaceably. Verse 19, avenge not yourselves. It's all pretty practical, isn't it? We've got our work cut out for us. So God wants us to find and live the perfect will of God. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, for speaking to our hearts. I pray that it would be our desire to put the work in that's needed, Lord, that we might have ourselves prepared to find and then to carry out your perfect will in our lives. Please make this real for us, that great things might happen through us before Jesus comes. In whose name we pray. Amen.